is always an honor and a joy to stand before you and be able to deliver the Word of God. I know that Mother's Day can be kind of emotional for many different reasons. If you're like me and your mom's been in heaven for many years, it always kind of tugs on your heart. And then, of course, like we talked about, there's so many different stages and phases of being a mom. And I personally just want to say, I know Pastor's already said a lot, but I honor every one of you mothers. Being moms is one of the toughest, but also one of the most rewarding jobs on earth. Moms really are the glue that holds a family together. So I thought instead of us getting all emotional, we'll start out with something funny. How's that? So listen to this. This is a true story. A second grade teacher gave her class a lesson on the magnet and what it does. The next day, she gave them a written test, which included the question, "My full name has six letters. The first one begins with M. And the clue is, I pick up things. What am I?" The teacher was astounded to find out that almost 50% of the second grade students answered the question with the word mother instead of magnet. Well, whom? How in the world could she argue with that? I think she had to give them a check for the right answer on that one, for sure. And then I like this. This is a funny illustration. Things that kids ask mom. Where's my backpack? Have you seen my shoes? Is my favorite shirt clean? What's for dinner? This one. Things kids ask dad. Where's mom? Pretty accurate, right? So we do know that parenting takes a lot of love, wisdom, patience, understanding, long-suffering, and strength, for sure. And no matter what phase you're in parenting, being a mother or a dad, whatever, we want to put another plug in. Do what you can in the natural to get the tools that will help you parent to the very best of your ability. So please take advantage of this parenting class happening on Saturday. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about the supernatural help that we have available, not just as moms and dads, but as people. Thank the Lord. Amen. Pastor Mark began that series last week called Empowered, and he talked about the spirit within and the spirit up on. So in keeping with that theme, this is what kept coming up in my heart. Today I'm going to talk about power-packed parents. Or if you're not a parent, just change it to power-packed people. Does that describe you? I think everybody in the house qualifies for that. For as much as I can see, everybody in here is human. So take that and say, I am a power-packed person. Amen? Amen. So we're going to be reiterating some of the scriptures that Pastor Mark shared last week. But you know, repetition is good, and so maybe some of you didn't get it the first time, so we're going to go around the second time. I'm going to begin with this scripture in Luke 24:49 out of the New King James. Pastor read this last week, and he told us this was the instructions that Jesus gave his disciples before he ascended back into heaven after his resurrection. So this is pretty important stuff. He wanted them to get this before he went back into heaven. Luke 24:49, again in the New King James. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He gave us these definitions, and again, I'm going to repeat them. For the word endued literally means this: empowered, fully equipped, and I like this one, clothed, empowered, fully equipped, or clothed. Then I want to read that same passage out of the Passage translation. I will send the fulfillment of the Father's promise to you. So stay here in the city until, I like this, the mighty power of heaven falls upon you and wraps, wraps around you. Amen. I might have a different translation. I don't know if I got the right one there. So stay here in the city until you are clothed with the mighty power from heaven. That's one of the other translations. Stay here until you are clothed with the mighty power from heaven. So as I saw that word clothed, I began to think about this, that yay, we have clothes that come right from heaven. We are promised a heavenly wardrobe. And you know what? It never goes out of style to be dressed with what heaven has to offer. If you're my age or even younger than me, and you go back and you look at some of the pictures when you were younger, and you look at some of the things that you were wearing, perhaps some of the hairdos, you look at these old pictures and you're like, wow, if I could go back, I would have something to say to my younger self. And it would be, what were you thinking? But you know, it was the fashion. It was the clothing of the time. Even guys were wearing bell-bottom pants and platform shoes. And I mean, wow, it was interesting times. And I know for sure if my sons, who are 40, almost 45 and 42 years old, if they were here today, they would probably want to ask me the same question concerning some of the clothes I made them wear when they were little. I remember, I think both of them experienced this, but for sure John, they were in preschool. And you know, just putting it all out there, airing your dirty laundry. I had a bunch of dirty laundry, and they didn't have any clean little shorts to wear that day, and it was hot. And so I had recently gone to Mervyn's. Anybody remember Mervyn's? Great sale at Mervyn's. And I had bought them matching dinosaur pajamas. I still remember it. I thought they were so cute. The little shorts had dinosaurs all over them, and the shirt, I think, was blue with a big dinosaur. So I'm like, you know what? You're going to wear these to preschool today. It's going to be so fun. You get to wear your dinosaur pajamas. Well, they kind of reluctantly were like, okay. So I sent them off to preschool. And you know, when I picked them up, John particularly was not happy. And he's like, Mom, this kid came up to me and asked me, why are you wearing pajamas? I have the same pajama outfit. Well, apparently his mom went to Mervyn's too and got the special, the sale. You know, I think he needed counseling after that. He was really wounded over that. But you know what? If it were today, people wouldn't say a thing about it. I see people in the store in their pajamas all the time. It's in now. I was just ahead of my time getting them to wear pajamas to preschool. It's fashionable now, right? But boy, I remember those times when they were little and I could pick them out, these cute little outfits. On Sunday morning, we made them wear suits, didn't we, Pastor Nancy? She did it to her boys too. Man, we even made our boys sit up on the platform, which they just adored that, having to do that, in their little three-piece or their little vest and their little suits. And then as they got a little bit older, we started buying matching sweaters. We have, I mean, this is legendary. A Christmas card that went out with the boys in these matching sweaters. And boy, I mean, the hairstyle that I had is, it was something. And anyway, and Pastor Mark looked like Juan Valdez. His hair was straight back, jet black mustache. But I would have to say that that Christmas card came back to haunt us. And that's all I'll say about that. There is a picture that someone painted in an undisclosed location. off of that Christmas card that our boys just they love to see that. Anyway, but fashions change, right? Styles change. But I knew the day of me buying their clothes and putting them in little matchy outfits was over. When one Christmas I bought them matching sweaters and I don't remember what else, and they started laughing hysterically. They were teenagers and they were like, "Really? We are not wearing this." So I was kind of bummed, but I knew that that season had ended. There's seasons of parenting, seasons of motherhood. And now we've got three granddaughters. Woo-hoo-hoo! I love my Olivia. She's 15. Lucy and Eden are both 9 now. Wow, they're both 9 now. But it's such a fun stage to be able to buy girl clothes. Woo-hoo! And well, so far, so good. I haven't heard them laughing at anything that I bought them. But anyway, I love to watch our sons being daddy to their girls. Recently, I was able to go down to Southern California and attend a musical that Olivia was in, and also little Lucy was in a play at her school. But after the Friday night musical that Olivia was in, she's 15 now, it was just John and I that night, she came up to her dad and she's like, "Daddy, a bunch of kids are going to go get ice cream. And you know, this one guy, I don't think his name might have been Eric, he has his parents like van. He was 18 years old and he's going to drive us." John turned around to me and he went, "I'm not ready for this." It was so fun to watch him dealing with that situation of a 15-year-old daughter wanting to go get ice. Anyhow, there was something else to the story. We got in his car, and then we kind of took our time, and we actually followed the car that Olivia was in. And he's like, "Good job." He just used his blinker to change lanes, you know. So it's interesting to watch the stages that your kids are now in. And to watch a girl daddy is even more interesting. But this is what I was getting to about styles and fashions and all of that. So it was kind of cold, and Olivia didn't have a jacket. So her dad starts taking off his sweatshirt, and he says, "Honey, it's cold, you need this, especially if you're going to go eat ice cream, da-da-da." And as he's taking it off, I was wearing this leather jacket, well, this fake leather jacket. And I said to her, "Do you want mine instead?" "Oh, Grammy, that is so cute." I mean, you know, it's hanging on her. I said, "It's a little big." She says, "Oh, that's the style. I like it." So when she got home, I thought, okay, Graham's still got it. She said, "Grammy, all my friends were asking me, where did you get that cool jacket?" And she said, "From my cool Grammy." So yay. Grammy's still cool in her eyes. So anyhow, we do know that styles change, but it's never out of style to be clothed with Jesus. And to be clothed with his mighty power. Hallelujah. When we're born again, the Bible tells us over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, we have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And then in the Amplified, and have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remodeled. I wish we could remodel the outside as easy as we can the spirit, man. You know what I mean? Remodeled into fuller and more perfect knowledge, upon knowledge, after the image of the likeness of him who created it. Clothe yourself with your new spiritual wardrobe. Someone on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. When we get born again, we get to take off those unworthy rags and are clothed with that royal robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. We get to take off that garment of heaviness and sorrow and put on the garment of praise. Hallelujah. There's a wardrobe change when we come into the family of God. It's a new season. We get new clothes and we are empowered to go higher places in Him. Hallelujah. Well, y'all know that, you know, I grew up on a farm in Oklahoma, so this just comes to me. You want to hear the chicken story? Anybody want to hear a chicken story? We are empowered to soar. Well, there was this farmer that he was out and he was way up in this hill one day and he found an eagle's nest and it looked like it was abandoned and there was this eagle's egg in there. So he takes his egg home and he puts it under a setting hen. If you don't know what a setting hen, it's a hen that's setting on eggs that are about to be hatched. So he put this eagle's egg in there with the other in this setting hen's nest. And by, the eagle's egg hatched out and there was a little baby eagle. But this little eagle thought it was a chicken because it was raised in the barnyard with the chickens. And that's how he saw himself. So he's out there in the barnyard. He's scratching around looking for worms and doing all this chicken stuff. And every once in a while, he'd look up into the sky and he'd see this majestic eagle. And he would think to himself, oh, I wish I could fly like that. I wish I could soar above the clouds like that, but I'm just a chicken. I got to stay down here in the barnyard and scratch around for worms. Well, one day, the storm began to brew, and the wind began to pick up, and all the chickens do what chickens do. They start running into the hen house to get away from the wind because they're chicken. You know what I'm saying? They're scared. They're afraid of the storm. But there was something in this little eagle. It was like an instinct, and he, instead of running to the hen house, he saw this post on the fence, and he ran over, and he hopped up on this post, and out of pure instinct, he spread out his wings. And as he began to spread out his wings, there was a big gust of wind, and it picked him up off of that fence post, and it lifted him up, and he began to fly. And as he's looking down, he's thinking, all these years I thought I was a chicken, but I'm an eagle. I was created to soar. I was created to fly. Well, there's too many chickens in the body of Christ that have that mentality. You know what? A chicken never represents power or strength. Chickens, usually their job is to feed you. They get eaten or they lay eggs. That's what they do. But if we are called to be an eagle, we have been empowered to soar above the storms of life. Allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to lift you up into higher places in God. Don't be satisfied to stay down there in the lowlands and in the barnyard. No, let the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit, wants to lift us up. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That initial outpouring that we'll look at here in a minute. What did it do? It did so many things. But one thing that being filled with the Holy Spirit did for the early church and those gathered in that upper room is it gave them higher revelation. It took them to new dimensions in God that they hadn't been before. That's what He wants to do in our lives. That's what He wants to empower us with, so that we may be power-packed people. Amen. So we're going to look at this initial outpouring here again in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Notice this. It was a sound from heaven. Tongues are not of the devil. Tongues did not come from hell. It was a sound that came from heaven. And then it says, and suddenly, I heard John Osteen say this many years ago. It's Joel Osteen's dad, Pastor John Osteen, tremendous man of God. He said it was a suddenly because the Holy Ghost was in a rush to come and take charge of the church. Hallelujah. Woo! Suddenly. Hallelujah. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The place shook with the power of God. We get excited if people shake under the power of God. And that's great. That's wonderful. But I believe we're coming into a time when such power is being poured out upon the church that whole buildings are going to shake under the presence of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice that it says that the Holy Spirit descended and tongues of fire sat on them. I grew up in a good Pentecostal church, but you know they had paintings in the Sunday school room of the day of Pentecost, and it showed this teeny little, like a flick of the Bic, if any of you remember that. I never smoked, but I saw the commercials, little flick of the Bic over their heads. No, that's not what happened. It sat upon them. They were consumed with the fire of God from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Getting filled with the Holy Ghost and fire is important. Fire accompanies being filled with the Spirit. John the Baptist said this in Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered his disciples, "Well, are you the Messiah? Are you this? Are you that?" And he said, "No. I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit," and say it, "and fire." If you're from the part of the country I'm from, you'd say, "Far, far, far." He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and far, fire, fire. Glory to God. Where did this fire come from? Tongues of fire sat upon them. It descended from heaven. God Himself is the author of that fire. Amen. Hebrews 12:29 tells us, our God is a consuming fire. The Holy Spirit and fire will burn out the wrong thing and will burn in the right things in your heart. He will brand you. Hallelujah. It will be written on the doorpost of your heart. I am His. He is mine. Hallelujah. Fire will brand you. Glory to God. And that fire of the Holy Spirit, it will get rid of weights and sins that try to hold us back. Hold us down. Get close to the Holy Ghost and fire. Don't just get close, get filled. And I like how it says that tongues of fire sat up on them. That Holy Spirit power literally sat upon them. You know they sensed it. We don't walk by feelings. We receive this wonderful gift by faith. But when His presence overpowers you, I can guarantee to you, you're going to sense something. I know myself, there's been times just in His presence, and it's been like a cloak has come down upon me. He doesn't care about us feeling Him. We don't walk by feelings. But folks, God's real. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is real. And He wants you to sense His very presence. Years ago, my brother, Ricky, was doing a meeting. Actually, I believe it was in the little Pentecostal church that we grew up in. And it was a little foreign to them about people falling under the power. And they didn't have catchers and all of that, but the power of God came down in the meeting. And this one lady had come up, I don't know if it was to be filled or to be healed, and she just fell under the power of God. I think it was to be filled with the Spirit. And then another lady next to her, same thing, Ricky prayed for her, and instead of falling straight back, they weren't given any instructions, they didn't have any little catchers, she fell over on top of the other lady. So when it was all said and done, the one that was on the bottom, she didn't even move. She just stayed, laid there, had her hands raised and praying in tongues. And when it was all said and done, she said to my brother, "You know, you were talking about the presence of God and the glory of God is heavy and weighty." She said, "He really is. It literally felt like somebody was on top of me." Well, he was. Hallelujah. Woo! Now, I am not, you know, with the Holy Ghost sat upon them. And I am not advocating that we start a new ministry called Sat On Them Ministry and go around and sat on people, sit on people, sat, sit, sat. Well, you know what I'm saying. No, I'm not advocating that. But I am saying, if we want to be power-packed parents or power-packed people in this day and in this age, we need to get and stay full of that mighty power from on high. Amen. Amen. The initial evidence was that they began to speak in other tongues. The ability to speak and pray in other tongues is one of our greatest weapons. Hallelujah. We're to be power packed believers and people. Have you ever heard this term when there maybe someone's talking about perhaps a police officer, someone legally that has a gun, and they say they are packing? You know what that means? They're carrying a weapon. Legally, they're carrying a weapon. A police officer, somebody in the military, they are packing. Well, I believe it ought to be said of the church, they are packing. Woo! It ought to be common knowledge that you and I are packing the power of the Holy Ghost everywhere we go. The weapons of our warfare, they're not guns and knives and all of that stuff, but they are mighty. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, out of the Amplified. "For though we live in the flesh, we're not carrying out our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not physical, but weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds." Are you thankful for the weapons of our warfare? How about the Word of God? The Bible says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. What does it do? It cuts the devil down to size. If you know how to use this mighty weapon, you'll win every single battle, every single time. What about the name of Jesus? The Bible says the name of Jesus is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is cancer a name? Yes, it is. So at the name of Jesus, any kind of sickness and disease, cancer, you gotta bow. Is rebellion a name? If you're dealing with some rebellion with your kids or your grandkids, it's not a match for the name of Jesus. The name that is above every name. What about the precious blood of the Lamb? The Bible says we overcome him, the devil, by the word of our testimony, using the word of God, and by the blood of Jesus. Use these mighty weapons. Know that you are power packed. You are packing. Hallelujah. Plead the blood of Jesus over yourself and over your family every single day and remind the devil, there is a bloodline around me and mine. There's a bloodline around my church, my place of employment. There's a bloodline around our schools. In Jesus' name. And Satan, you cannot cross it. I know that I have mighty weapons of war, for my warfare. Use this shield of faith. Hallelujah. Raise up the shield of faith when those attacks come against you and against your family. The Bible says that the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Glory to God. And then use what we are talking about today. Use this powerful weapon of praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. A major benefit of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and using this weapon is He, yes, He, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He will help us pray. Help us pray. Power-packed prayers. Amen? Not little weak, unaffected prayers. Power-packed prayers. Glory to God. He is our helper. He is our heavenly helper. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And I want to look at it first out of the New King James. Likewise, the Spirit, He also helps in our weakness. For we don't know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself, He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. One translation, I believe it's the Amplified, says, not inarticulate speech. Sometimes from the very depths of our spirit, groanings, weepings, words from heaven will rise up and flow out of us if we will yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. I like this same passage out of the Passion Translation. And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But these weapons that I'm talking about, these battles that we face and we fight, we don't do it in our own human ability. You'll lose every time. In and of ourselves, there is a weakness, and there is a limitation of what can be accomplished. But we are not limited. We are not going to limit the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of God. We're going to receive all that He has given to us. And it goes on and it says, for example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us. And I love this phrase. To super intercede on our behalf. Leading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. Have you ever been at a loss for words? It's awesome to be able to pray in our known language. But there are times, just like this verse says, we don't know what to say or how to pray. Particularly, I know moms, we like to fix things. So we think we know what needs to be done. We think we know how to pray. And then we go and tell them what we prayed about. And this is what you need to do. But you know what? We don't know everything. We, no matter how great a mom or dad that you are, a person that you are, we are limited. That's why He said in your human frailty. But that's not where we live. When we don't know what to say or how to pray, that's when we lean in. Amen. We lean in to Him. We tap in, like Pastor said last week, to those rivers of living water. And when we lean in, then the Holy Spirit will rise up on the inside of us. And I like how this said this. He will rise up within us and He'll cause us to super intercede. Supernatural help. Anybody use some of that? We got supernatural help to live and to walk in victory in this day and in this age. Supernatural help to pray supernatural prayers. Glory to God. Talk about supersizing. If some of you are fans of supersizing at McDonald's or Burger King, I would just say don't. Probably not a good choice. But when it comes to the things of God and to the Holy Spirit, supersize all you want. Tap in. There's an unlimited supply of His power. It will turn us in to powerful praying people. Powerful praying parents. Can help us to pray effectively over our families, our kids, our grandkids, our relatives. You guys know we have two sons. And like I said earlier, John wasn't perfect. He had his challenges. But then there was James. And the challenges went to a whole other level. It was like an assignment was against his very life. It really was. I'm not going to go into details, but it wasn't pretty. And it wasn't easy for us as parents for many years. When we didn't have words to say or know how to pray, I'm telling you, we had to develop that ability and that trust of leaning into God and praying in the Holy Spirit. I can remember some nights when James was being so tormented he couldn't sleep. And I'd just go in there and lay on the bed by him, put my hand on him. And I didn't know what to pray or how to say, but I knew how to pray in tongues. And that peace would flow. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He came alongside us. He strengthened us for the fight. He caused us to stand. And I'm so happy to report, you all know, because James has stood in this pulpit and he has preached the word of God. Today, glory to God, he's a wonderful, strong man of God serving in a ministry. He's a great husband, and to God be the glory. He's got a daughter. He's a father. Hallelujah. And every year he writes me these precious notes. I think maybe to Dad, but probably more to Mom. But anyway, just one line that he put in the Mother's Day card that he gave me this year. Thanks for always seeing the best in me, even when it wasn't very visible. Thank God. Hallelujah. Parents, it's worth the stand. We need to take the time to tap into what heaven has made available to us. We are living in a day when there is pressure of this age coming against not only us, but it's coming against our kids and our grandkids. If you're, you know, your nieces, your nephews, your family members. And you know, there's a few young people in here today. We didn't have youth. And I just want to speak to you just for a moment. There was all the riots and the rebellion and the things, the protests that are happening now are not new. The cause has changed, but it's the same evil spirit that has always gone after the youth of our nation. Many of you will remember, some of you weren't alive, and perhaps you know about it, but during the 60s and the 70s, it was a turbulent time in our nation. So many young people were being swept into drugs and into the hippie culture and the free love and all of that stuff. And rebellion was just running rampant. The devil thought he had that generation, but he did not win. Out of that hippie movement and all of that rebellion came one of the greatest moves of God that our nation has ever seen, called the Jesus Revolution. If you haven't seen that movie, I encourage you to go and watch it. It's a true facts and how God began to intervene in the young people of our nation. Glory to God. I graduated from high school in 1972. I was a teenager during that time, but I grew up in rural Oklahoma, so I wasn't being pulled into drugs and all of those things. But the opportunity to rebel and go a different direction was available to me, just like to everyone else. But I want to say, what kept me on course was being filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a power that was evident and active in my life that I knew I didn't need to go out and try drugs and try this and try that. I'd already found Jesus. Hallelujah. And the power of the Holy Spirit. So parents, people, pray over your kids. Pray over your grandkids. Pray over your nieces and your nephews, your relatives, that they would have an encounter with the Holy Ghost. The attack that's happening now against our children, some of the garbage that has been thrown at them, even in elementary school, the attack against our youth and on college campuses, we're declaring it shall not prosper. Satan thought he had that earlier generation, but he did not. Glory to God. I can just begin to name men and women that came out of that, that are standing tall and preaching the gospel today. Hallelujah. One of them is sitting right over there. Glory to God. Woo! Thank God. And our prayer is, Lord God, do it again. We're not going to sit by and let the devil have our nation. Let the devil have this next generation. We are power-packed people. We're going to rise up and use the weapons. And don't you write off California. I know crazy things are happening in our state, but there's also glorious things. There are seeds of revival. There are seeds of great moves of God that happened and started right here in our state. And it's going to happen again. There's even a movement happening next weekend. It's called Baptize California. And from the bottom of the state, starting in San Diego, all the way up to Crescent City on Saturday and Sunday, hundreds of people have signed up to be baptized out in the ocean and in different locations. God is on the move. On the move. On the move. Hallelujah! We had a wonderful water baptism service here a few weeks ago. And now, not only are people getting baptized in water next weekend, but Pentecost Sunday. Woo! Do it again, Lord. You know, I just woke up yesterday morning and I had this excitement in my spirit that God is up to something. He's up to something in our state. Of course, our nation. But folks, we live here in California. This is our territory. This is our domain. And we are contending. We are contenders for God to pour out His Spirit once again. Azusa Street happened here in our state. My goodness. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Let your glory cover our state. Cover our nation. Hallelujah. Well, do you all agree with what has just been spoken? Let's all stand to our feet then. Lord, we want to thank you. Woo! We want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you for the power that has been given unto us. Oh, Lord, we want to thank you for our wonderful weapons at our disposal. Thank you, Lord. We are not weak people, weak parents. No, we're strong in you. Strong in the Lord. Strong in the power of your might. We are contenders for all that you have for us. Glory to God. Glory to God.